Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as a supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honour the emperor.
Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only those who are good and considerate, but also those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God.
But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps.
He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth.
When they hurled their insult at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed.
For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behaviour of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewellery or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight.
For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear.
Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your own wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, some of you might be thinking, thanks be to God. Some of you might be thinking, what in the world? And let's be honest, this passage can cause some of us to raise our eyebrows at some aspects of it. It's a bit of a difficult passage, and the reason I wanted all of it together is because it's all about the theme of submission. And the truth is, whilst it raises our eyebrows, it also would have raised the eyebrows for those people who read it first, to whom Peter wrote the letter. Perhaps the interesting thing is that some of the bits that raised their eyebrows would not raise our eyebrows, and some of the things that raise our eyebrows wouldn't have been a shock to them. But I believe this passage is incredibly relevant to what we're going through in the world right now, because it's all to do with power and authority. This week in my Alpha group, somebody was asking the question. We were discussing the Bible, and somebody asked the question, how do you determine what is relevant for today in the Bible? Because there are some things that we say, oh, that's not really relevant because that was specific to them. And there are some things that we say, oh, yeah, this is really relevant and important for now. How do you determine which one is which? It's a really great question. And we covered it a few months back. In fact, I think it was about a year ago when we went through our series, How to Read the Bible. And if you're interested in those questions, I really want to encourage you to go to our website and check out the podcast and follow up. There are four teachings on how to read the Bible so that we can get a better understanding of what it means for us as Christians to hear God's word and then work out what it means to apply it. Biblical scholars encourage us to try to understand the culture that they were writing to first, so that we can begin to understand what was normal back then, what their culture looked like, what presumptions they had. And based on that, we can understand about the context that they were writing in. So it's really important to remember that when Peter talks about submitting to human authority and the emperor himself, that that emperor was Nero. The time when Peter was writing this letter, the person he's saying we should submit ourselves to the authority was the same guy who was throwing Christians to the lions in the Circus Maximus. He's the same guy who was lining the roads with Christians as they were being crucified to make the point that you shouldn't worship Jesus. He's the same guy who dipped living Christians in tar and set them alight to light his garden parties. Peter says this is the authority that we should submit to. How extraordinary. When we lived in Arizona, there was a lot of talk about illegal immigrants, people who lived in the state without an appropriate visa. Most of them had come from Mexico and were actually providing an essential service in the state and within the economy. But they didn't have the right visa. Now, when I left my job in the church in Arizona so that we could move to another church in a different part of the country to where I could be a worship leader there, I suddenly realized that my visa wasn't valid anymore. Now, I've since found out that it actually was fine and that there was nothing to worry about. But for those weeks after leaving my job and doing the transition period, I was driving my car in fear about what might happen if I got stopped by the police. I had a 5-litre V8 Mustang open top car. I loved driving it. And I was driving around, but the problem was there was an issue with the gearbox, which meant that it was really quite likely I was going to break down at any point, which just made the anxiety worse. What's going to happen if I'm pulled over by the side of the road and a policeman stops or a policewoman stops and asks to see my ID and discovers that my visa is no longer valid? I will be one of those illegal immigrants. I will be mistreated as somebody who shouldn't be in that country. It was a time where I was really quite afraid, where the people that I thought in the past were there to protect me actually became a threat to me. Imagine how it would feel to be scared of people who are in authority over you. And let's be honest, that is what's causing so much frustration and anger and fear and anxiety in the US and around the world right now. People from ethnic minorities not feeling protected, but under threat from those who have power over them. But it was there in Arizona that I also understood the power of white privilege. I was scared, and I shared that with my friends. But you know what they said to me? They said, "Gareth, you've no need to worry. They're not looking for people like you. They're not looking for people who look like you." Suddenly, just because I was a white guy, I didn't have to be afraid anymore of the authorities. Peter is writing here to a people who have every right to feel afraid and disempowered. people who are living under the rule of an abusive, persecuting leader, or slaves living under the hand of dominating, unkind masters. Now, I don't believe for one moment that Peter, in writing this, is condoning dictatorship or condoning slavery. I think the key point that he's trying to make is this: be like Jesus. Be like the one through whom we are healed. It's by his wounds that we are healed. Remember the themes that we've encountered so far in this letter that Peter has written. We've looked at the passage where he said that we should be holy because God is holy. We've looked at the part where it says that difficult things that we go through bring up the dross to the surface in us. But remember the call to rid ourselves from all evil. All of this is the background to how we should live, entrusting ourselves to the one who sees everything, who is the judge of all. When we are powerless, we entrust ourselves to the one with ultimate power. Now, I don't believe that Peter is saying we shouldn't protest. I don't believe he's saying that we shouldn't try to speak truth to power. All he is saying is, don't try to fight power with power, especially when your power is weaker. See, maybe like you, I've been fascinated by the way that Donald Trump has been responding to the violence in the US. He's been fighting power with power. We will overwhelm you with military force. That is one way of responding. But it seems that it incites more protest, more violence, more frustration, and an increased sense of powerlessness and a desire for things to change. Fighting power with power can make things worse. Instead, we saw that incredible scene where one of the police chiefs got his people to put down their riot gear and he went to listen to the protesters. After asking what he could do, they asked him to walk with them. And so he did. He chose not to respond with power, but with his authority to help those who were less powerful than him. And think about how Obama responded this week. He has no power at all, but he used his authority to speak about a possibility of hope, just like Yvonne was speaking about, in the midst of all that is happening. Jesus chose not to respond to Pilate or the Sanhedrin with power, but with silence. He entrusted himself to the greater authority of Father God. Again, I'm not saying we shouldn't speak up. Don't forget that just that week, Jesus had been saying some very clear things about the power and authority in Jerusalem, being pretty critical of them. But when he was being overwhelmed by political and social power, he kept silent and entrusted himself to God. Which brings us to the section about wives submitting to husbands. So I mentioned at the beginning, Lizzie and I are about to celebrate on Wednesday our 20th wedding anniversary. And it's a tough read because of the culture that we live in. But again, it's worth remembering that the culture Peter was writing in before we jump to any conclusions. So the first thing to say is in chapter 3, verses 1 to 6 would not have been particularly shocking or surprising at all. Wives had no legal status under Roman rule. They were owned by their husbands. They were literally the property of their husbands. So what's actually shocking for those readers of this letter would have been verse 7, the instruction to the husband. When Peter talks about wives being weaker, the Greek makes it very clear he's talking about physical strength. Don't use your physical strength to demand submission from your wife. That's using power against power. When he writes that wives are heirs with you, that's a massive deal. It's easy to miss how countercultural this was. Peter is reminding Christian married men that their wives, who in Roman law were their property to do what they liked with, were actually their equals in their status before God. Heirs together, seen as equal in God's sight. And to the wives, he's writing this challenge to encourage them to make their primary focus, not the outside, but the inside. I don't believe he's saying that women shouldn't enjoy nice clothes or makeup or hairstyles. He's saying, make your life worth more than just that. It's not just about external beauty, but that internal beauty. I love Lizzie, not just because of how she looks, but because of who she is. She's making a very good face right there. Because of who she is. And I think if we learn one thing from reality TV, it's that internal beauty, kindness, gentleness, thoughtfulness, selflessness is so much more attractive than simple external beauty. Lizzie and I recognise one another as equal before the Lord. We've just done the marriage course, which has been so helpful 20 years in, to review the things that we don't know about each other or have forgotten about each other and how we can work well as a team with the Lord. So what about this thing then about submission? One person recently told me that they don't like the word submit and they get concerned when it gets used in church. Now, I get where they're coming from and I think I understand what they mean. But I think it demonstrated a level of distrust of power. They almost expected power to be abused the moment the word submit gets used. And this is where we need to be really careful. You see, submission is only a scary thing when it's abused. I don't demand submission from Lizzie, and she doesn't quake with fear in our relationship, or at least I really hope not, and I think after 20 years, I don't think she does. In fact, I try really hard to empower Lizzie, and it's hard to think of a time when I've said, this is what we're going to do, and I don't care what you think. Most conversations are trying to find a mutual agreement. I don't want to use my physical power or any other form of manipulation to force Lizzie to submit to me. That's what love looks like, wanting the best for each other. So, ladies, work hard on your spiritual life, harder than your physical beauty. And men, don't abuse power just because you can. We've just finished watching the little TV series, The Morning Show. I don't know if you've seen it on Apple TV Plus. It's a series all about the Me Too movement. It's so moving, realizing how much men have been able to get away with by abusing power. Let's not be like that. Let's honour women as our equals before God and seek to empower them, not to dominate them. And for those of us with white privilege, let's do the same for people who don't have the same colour of skin as us. When I was preparing this talk and praying about what to share, the movie Aladdin kept coming to mind. Twice in the film, Aladdin offers Jasmine his hand and says, "Do you trust me?" He's using his power and his authority to help her and to empower her. This letter to Peter challenges us in our day and age to be trustworthy people who will use whatever power and authority God has given us to empower and encourage others to be all that they can be. And that when we are powerless, when we're overwhelmed by the power of this world, to entrust ourselves to God, the one who sees everything and judges justly.